Greetings in the name of Jesus Christ to each one of you that has gathered here this morning. May the glory of the Lord fill this place. The Sunday school lesson closed with that thought, and that must have been a tremendous experience to have gone through all the work of putting together the tabernacle and following carefully what the Lord had laid, the directions that he had given. Verse 33 says, "So Moses finished the work, and a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." Well, I can testify for myself that the glory of the Lord is here this morning. I've been blessed by the service. My thoughts seem to go all kinds of different ways. Appreciated the input of every song that was sung, and the devotional, and the thoughts that were shared during the Sunday school class. Appreciated that, Brother Glenn, and your input there. Appreciated that very much. We stand at the threshold of a new year. Don't think I'm giving you any new information. I think you all know that. And as I tried to think and tried to listen to the voice of the Lord as he, throughout this past week, as far as what I should share this morning, decided not to continue with the Revelation study this morning. Decided to preach a message that I had preached at another congregation exactly a year ago. You can turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. So you think about a new year, I don't know what you're thinking. I look at your faces, I don't know what thoughts you have as you think about another year dawning. I'm glad we sang one song like that. Because in a sense, it's a momentous time. We're turning another leaf. In another sense, it's just another day. But it gives us a time to reflect. It gives us a time to look backward over the past year. And it's an opportunity to stand at the threshold of a new year and to have a clean sheet of paper, a white, it's nothing written on it, nothing whatsoever. Because we don't know what God has for us. There's a lot of unknowns in life. And maybe there's fear. That can come into our heart as we look forward. Maybe you know of some things that might happen this year. It just fills you with fear. I don't know. Maybe you're looking forward to some, anticipating something great and wonderful. So you have those emotions. But going back to this fear thing again. I think there's the future can often be filled, can often have some apprehensions in our lives as we think about it. And sometimes it can be fear. You have to think of what Franklin D. Roosevelt said in 1933, that we have nothing to fear but fear itself. And he said that in 1933, the nation was in the midst of the Great Depression. And it was looking as the United States looked toward the east, toward Europe. It was war clouds threatening again, if just a decade or two after World War I. We had nothing to fear but fear itself. God doesn't want his people to fear. He doesn't want you to fear. That's a long introduction. And maybe we should refrain from reading all the verses I was going to read. Philippians chapter 4. I think you're already turned there. But toward the end of the chapter, he's rejoicing. Verse 10, he's rejoicing in the Lord because of his abundance, of the blessing that the Philippian church had opened their hearts to him. Verse 16 says, "For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity." They were a very giving people. No church, verse 15, "No church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." Very giving church. Verse 17, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire that fruit may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God," this is our verse this morning, "but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." The title of the message is, "But my God shall supply all your need." My God shall supply all your need. The Apostle Paul is just thanking the churches for their giving. And he said, "I'm full." But maybe he was, maybe, I don't know if this was the end of the old year or not, and he was looking forward. And his burden was that the Philippian church would remember that my God will supply all your need. This is a rich and precious promise to us this morning. And God wants us, each one of us, to hear this promise and to experience it. And to remember it, no matter what you face. This is a promise that is based on personal prior experience. You notice the pronouns there, my and your. I guess those are pronouns. I forget my English sometimes. But my and your, it's a personal experience. That my God, Paul was saying, my God shall supply all your need. We all have personal experiences we could share of how God supplied our needs. It'd be interesting to open it up right now and just let you all go around and talk about those times. I think of one in my own experience several years ago. Kevin would maybe be able to tell you more exactly what year it was. I don't remember right now, but we were making a trip to Michigan for Kevin's program, as I remember. You're teaching out there, and we wanted to, I forget if it was a surprise or not, but we wanted to leave in good time so we could make it there for the program. And about halfway out, started feeling something strange in the van, and the tire went flat. And we were packed full. And we didn't have a lot of time, I didn't think. So we got busy. We had to unload the back half of the van, it seemed like it, maybe not quite, but and find all the equipment, and the spare tire was very low. It was very rusty. I wasn't sure. We put it on and went down the road. It wasn't far to an exit, and we pulled into a tire shop and we waited, and there was a tire there, a used tire there. And after an hour or two, it just, you know, they helped us out, but it took a little while, and we got back on the road again, and we made it in time, pretty much. And I just, maybe it's not a big thing. And I could tell some personal experiences too where it was very personal. but I won't do that up front. But I'm sure we could all, from the littlest thing, we're working in a project and we're missing something, to large needs. God can do it. We're very needy. Humanity is very needy. Every aspect of human existence relates to needs. You know, animals are born into this world, and it's not long till they can take care of themselves. But with humans, it's so different. We are so needy. Oh, we think we're self-sufficient, but we are really needy. We're helpless in a weather like this. We need heat, and we need clothing, and there's needs abounding on every hand. And humanity goes to great lengths to find answer for its needs. They spend money. They get deep in credit card debt. We overfinance. We have insurance for everything. We have an emphasis on overemphasis on safety. I came across some safety warnings on some devices. Do not use while sleeping on a hairdryer. Okay. Wearing of this garment does not enable you to fly on a child-sized Superman costume. On a portable stroller, caution, remove infant before folding for storage. It's just ridiculous. But humanity has needs. Sometimes there's a huge emphasis on safety, but they're so concerned about some areas, but then other things, well, you know where I'm going. Sometimes they block it out with drugs and alcohol. That's a huge problem. Blocking out needs. Sometimes they live in denial. Sometimes there's a dependence on counseling. Now, we could go on and on. Humanity goes to great lengths to find answers for its needs. But we have to understand this morning, to experience need is not only normal, it is necessary. To experience need is necessary. Because when we experience need, it helps us to recognize our need of others. It helps us to recognize our need of God. To have needs then is a blessing. Did you ever think about it that way? It's a blessing. Another question is, how many of our needs are self-imposed because of our materialism? So often we live beyond our means. We can. Can we simplify our lives? God can supply our needs. My God shall supply all your need, but we have a responsibility this morning to be wise in financial decisions. We have a responsibility to be careful how much we throw away. We have a responsibility to repair things instead of just throwing and buying something new. We could go into, this is not a financial seminar, but it's just something that I think we all could do better in. I could do better in. Let's take this verse apart and just take a phrase and go through it and see what God is trying to tell us this morning. Verse 19, but my God, start right there, the eternal one, the omnipotent one, the king of heaven and earth. There's no comparison to any other. But my God, that's who he is this morning. We know that. But he's also mine and yours. How is this possible? My God. Well, we know this from past experience. Paul knew it. Paul knew this because of his past experience with God, because God supplied his needs so many times when he was in dire circumstances. And he was, as I think it's, oh, I'm not sure what where it is, where he goes through a laundry list of things that happened to him and times when he was shipwrecked and so on. But he knew that God can supply his need because God did supply his need. But my God, and we know that from our experience, that God wants our hearts this morning. God wants your heart. He created you in his image, and he desires to give gifts. He loves us, and he desires to give us our needs. He longs for a covenant relationship with us. We noticed that in the Sunday school lesson this morning. This mercy seat was where he came to dwell, where he came to take away the sins of man. It's because he loves us. He cares for us. He's our God this morning. He's your God. He loves to bless us more than we can imagine. And how foolish we are when we go to other things, when we go anywhere else. Psalm 20, verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Also 33:17, and horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver by any by his great strength. We got a lot of chariots and horses today. There's a lot of things that we tend to go for our security and to supply our needs. Chariots and horses provide independence. They provide mobility. They provide communication. If you can go back, let your mind wander back in history, the horse was the main means of communication, mobility, independence. It allowed, before there was motor vehicles, but now we have a whole different, we have communication devices. We have our vehicles that can drive 1,000 miles without much effort at all. And these things bring us independence and security, right? They can. And somehow we get into this thing of trusting in our possessions, in our chariots and in our horses. Does God need to strip away some of these things so that we can find our security in him? Just a question. Where is your security this morning? Where are you finding your needs met? But my God shall supply. That's a promise to us this morning. There's no uncertainty in this statement. Shall supply. Shall supply. No maybe. No if I feel like it. It's a shall supply. Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God can do it. God shall supply all your need. All. It's the next little word, next little thought. All. All is available from God's storehouse. We just talked about the storehouse. It's all available. Ephesians says this, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What does that not include? The riches of glory is at our disposal through Jesus Christ. And the grace and help that is available from God is inexhaustible. There is no need of man this morning that God does not have resources for. And it takes faith and trust to realize this. My God shall supply all your need. Your need. Like we said, humanity is very needy. And you can take the needs and you can divide them into categories. We have spiritual needs, we have emotional needs, and we have physical needs. Jesus Christ meets the spiritual needs that we have through deliverance from sin and bondage. Oh, there's so many in this world that have spiritual needs and they don't know where to go. Have you experienced, are your spiritual needs met through Jesus Christ, or are you struggling in your own strength? The emotional needs. Jesus Christ meets emotional needs. And the physical needs. Jesus Christ, through God, God can heal. Healing comes from God. God created our bodies that can heal. He made it that way. But you're saying, well, God supplies these needs, but yet I have spiritual weakness sometimes. And I have emotional weaknesses sometimes. And my body is wearing out. God is supplying these needs, but I don't feel that this morning. But God provides for these needs in ways that sometimes we cannot understand at the time. But my God shall supply all your need. The small need and the big need. He supplies this morning the deepest needs of man, and they vary from person to person. Even those needs in your heart that no one knows about, God can supply that need. Maybe it's too embarrassing to talk about it to anyone, but God can supply that need. That need that is blocking spiritual growth, that need that is giving Satan a foothold in my life, the sin that does so easily beset us, Hebrews 12:1. That verse goes on to say, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience a race that is set before us. God provides for that, for the deepest needs of man. The need that medications have not been able to touch. Worries and fears and sickness and disease and cancer, disability, old age, dementia, Parkinson's. God can supply those needs. God doesn't always choose to heal directly, but he supplies the need that you have in the midst of these trying circumstances. Fears of financial failure and economic collapse. We could go on and on this morning. God wants to supply those needs in your life. Why? Because we are his children. We are his children, and God does not deprive us of the things that we really need. We ought to read Psalm 23 right now. We are his sheep, and he leads us. He supplies us. When we're in the valley of despair, or whether we're in the by the calm streams, meadows. How can all this be this morning? How can we believe this? How can it become a part of our life? You can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Second Corinthians chapter 12 gives the first part of the chapter there. I won't read it all, but Paul was saying that if anyone had a reason to glory, it was him. He had visions and revelations of the Lord, and I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. I knew such a man, how he was caught up in heaven, verse 4, into paradise, and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself will I not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I should not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. These are tremendous verses this morning. Because we don't believe in a health and wealth gospel. And I don't want to preach that this morning where if we are God's children and we're faithful, that God's going to just pile the blessings on in a material way, and we're going to be rich, and we're going to drive big cars. That's false. I think this is important for us to understand how God supplies our needs. God supplies our need. God supplied the need of Paul here in these verses through a thorn in the flesh. That God's power works through our needs this morning. If we say that we have no needs or fail to admit that we are needy, we cut ourselves off from the power of God. God knows our needs more than we understand our problems, so he sees different solutions than human reasoning can see. Oh, the faith that we need to be able to see this when we're in the midst of this thorn, of dealing with this thorn, that God knows and understands. And human reasoning, we rationale, we look at this situation, we see one way out. But God sees what we really need. And sometimes he gives it in the way, sometimes he supplies our need in the way of a thorn. God has a better answer to our needs than we can imagine. Ephesians 3 verse 20 says, now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Let's not trust in chariots or horses this morning. Let's trust in this God that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. God provides ways through these things, through these thorns, not details around them, not detours around them. Verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me, but it didn't. Man's extremity is God's opportunity, as we say sometimes. So I don't know what thorn is in your life, but God will give you one. But in spite of that thorn, he's going to open up the windows of heaven and give you the grace and the strength that you need and supply the need that thorn makes in your life. Satan wants to keep us from understanding and appropriating this verse, this verse 9. He wants us to keep trying to fulfill our needs in our own way. And sometimes it seems like it works, but in the end, we can't do it. It leads in failure, it leads in defeat. Leads to defeat, or it leads to a self-sufficiency that closes us off from God. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I know we just read them, and I read them twice. I need those verses this morning. Psalm 37, verse 4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. The word delight there means to indulge or submerge yourself totally. And that's what we need to do this morning. To delight ourselves in the Lord. No matter what the situation is, no matter how big that thorn is, no matter how deep it is pressing into our lives, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. We need to develop a living faith and trust in God. This concept is foundational to Christian living in victory, and I want to turn to Hebrews chapter 10. The Sunday school lessons that we've been going through have, I feel like it would be in order to preach through the book of Hebrews at the same time we're going through the Sunday school lessons that we're doing now, because there's so many parallels. The book of Hebrews was written to the Hebrews, but it was written in a New Testament concept so that these Hebrews who are used to the Old Testament system could make that bridge to the new. And chapter 10, I believe, is the pivot point chapter. It really ties, it really closes the loop or connects the bridge from the old to the new. I have many more thoughts here than what I can share, but verse 1 in chapter 10, for the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. The Old Testament system was not perfect. It was just a shadow. And it goes on to explain that, how Jesus Christ, verse 12, but this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, Jesus Christ sat down at the right hand of God. And then it goes on to verse 19. You know, we talked this morning in the Sunday school lesson. I feel like you might feel like I'm going off track here a little bit. I'll try to bring you all back to where I was, or back to our my God shall supply all your need. But in our Sunday school lesson, we talked about how man approached God in the Old Testament. And I think it is different in the New Testament. God is still a holy God, and God still cannot tolerate sin. We cannot approach the presence of God with sin in our hearts. But he's saying that there was the old has passed away, and there's a new way. Verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And there I make the connection, and it goes on. We could read more, but there I make the connection to that verse in Psalm 37, 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. God desires a relationship with his people, and there's a closeness that I believe the New Testament saints have through Jesus Christ, a closeness that the Old Testament did not understand. There was a fear and trembling. There's a great fear and trembling. If you think about the mountain experience, or the mount experience when Moses was on the mount, and the children of Israel were waiting and they were wondering what happened to Moses. And there was earthquakes and darkness and thunderings. And that was, and you contrast that now to this boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. These thorns in our flesh, these needs in our lives, somehow need to propel us and motivate us to draw near with a true heart to God. So often, these things can, Satan is able to manipulate and to get in and sow some seeds of discouragement and allow these things to push us away. It's exactly the opposite of what God intends for his people. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance. Or verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. Let's allow these thorns as they drive deep into us, bring pain into our lives. Let's allow this to move us closer to God. And chapter 11 follows right on to this, right on the heels of chapter 10. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for. And I think this is the concept of faith is what we need. Because faith helps us to look beyond the current. How can we develop this faith in our lives and our families? Because, like I said, this faith and trust in God is at the core of this, of us understanding our needs. How can we develop faith and trust in God through our circumstances? Maybe we have this attitude, if all else fails, try faith in God. No. We don't exhaust our own resources and then reach out in faith. That's backward. We need to live in faith. Parents, we need to be faithful and practice what we preach. Fathers, do not give in to expressing discouraging and depressing perspectives on events. Sometimes we feel the pressure of leadership, and we get frustrated when things aren't going the right way. But it's very important that we are positive and we do not give in to discouraging attitudes and depressing perspectives on things. It's so easy. We can get there so quickly. But we're talking about how to develop this faith and trust in God that can carry us through these times of trial, these times of thorns, because God wants to supply our needs. And we have a responsibility to lead and guide these young ones that he has entrusted to us. A positive attitude toward difficulties goes a long way. Expressing faith. I haven't done this for a long time, but sometimes when we were traveling, when the family was younger, I never liked to run a vehicle with an empty or a tank where the needle was getting close to empty. And sometimes it would get there, though it would be close to empty, and so I would reach underneath the dash and I would say, I guess I'll hit the faith button here. I think for a while some of the children thought that there actually was a faith button there. maybe that's a poor example, but somehow, I guess my burden is if we fathers have difficulty having faith during discouraging times, how are we ever going to pass it on? How can we pass on faith, the concept of living by faith? In spite of how circumstances are, we need to live by faith. We need to be honest about our needs. It's another way of developing a living faith and trust in God. We need to be honest about our needs. We need to pray as a family for needs. And in other words, if there is a need, now maybe not, you need to keep your age or your family in consideration. It's not good to be always living with an attitude of something's terrible is going to happen anytime. That it's not, you can't live like that either. But if there is a need that the family is facing, there are times when it's good to pray as a family for that need. And then pray a prayer of thankfulness when God meets the need. My God shall supply all your need. And I think these are building blocks of faith and trust that we need to instill in our families, in our children. We need to share stories and examples of deliverance from situations and needs met. I think this is important. Maybe I should have shared more stories. I think you all can, hopefully some things come to your mind. And it's good as a family to share these things and to be reminded of them, because there will come other circumstances, and faith calls us to go back and say, just like these verses, like our text verses here, but my God shall supply all your need. Philippians. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And that's the second part of the verse. And it's time to bring this to a close. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And his riches in glory, well, his riches are here for us now. But in glory, there will be no needs anymore. Praise the Lord, there'll be no needs whatsoever. All of our needs will be gone. But while we are here, God wants to supply our needs. So I don't know how you are looking ahead at the new year. For some of you, it looks exciting. For others of us, we may be apprehensive. But my God shall supply all your need. Let's kneel for prayer.